Well, hello there. This is Monitor, and welcome to a very special weekend with Monitor. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker. And what's so special, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. This is Monitor's last weekend. That's right. After close to 20 years of going places and doing things and taking you along, we'll be saying goodbye. But we promise it won't be a tearful goodbye. No siree, or madam. We'll just be turning back the clock a bit to talk with some of the other Monitor hosts like Dave Garraway. Listen to some of the many talented people who were regular contributors to the thousands and thousands of hours we've been on the air. Have a few laughs with Nichols and May and Solomon Diamond and Jonathan Winters. But let's get started. Back we go to the beginning, to the year 1955, when Bill Haley and the Comets rocked around the clock.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad flags up. Join me, hot. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes two, three, and four.
Bill Haley and the Comets rocking back then. The year Monitor began, and on this final weekend of Monitor, it's a great pleasure for us to welcome to Radio Central the man who first occupied what was called the communicator's chair in those days. Same squeaky one we still have here, I think. His name, Dave Garraway. But before we even say hello, we'd like Dave and you to hear how he sounded with one of his guests on that very first day in June 1955.
I wonder if I'm scared of you. Are most men scared of you? I'm not sure whether I should be frightened of you or not.
No, nobody's scared of me.
I don't know. I bet a lot of guys are scared of you, though, because you're such an institution now. Really, you are. You're a kind of a national possession. Do you feel that you belong to the nation as a whole?
I don't know quite what you mean by that. I live here.
That'll do it very nicely. I hear that you're moving to New York City to live. Is it so?
Yes. This will be my home from now on.
Mm-hmm.
That is until I retire. And when I retire, I'm going to retire to Brooklyn.
Yeah, I remember. Who would forget? Who in the world would ever forget? That was Maryland a long time ago.
You didn't sound in awe of her at all, but were you? A little bit?
That's my business, not to sound in awe. You're doggone right, I was in awe. No, she wasn't awful. I don't mean that in the wrong way. She wasn't awe-inspiring when she wasn't acting. And she wasn't acting that day, and she was, like all movie people, she's a girl. She's a fella, and I've never met anybody that wasn't a human being, in fact.
the Monitor first day, you can't forget that.
June 12th, 1955. And you're going off, it'll be about 19 and a half years, right?
Yep, just about.
Well, then I was right, doggone. Pat Weaver's assistant came into the office, and I was lying down, I remember, and he said, Dave, we want you to do a show on radio. We're going to call it Monitor, and it's going to be... And he went into a kind of a vague description, and I sat there, and I said, no, Alan, I don't think it's going to work. I'd rather not, if you don't mind. And he came back a couple hours later, and he said, Pat would like you to do it very much as a personal favor to him. This is Pat Weaver, who was at that time the great president of NBC. And I said, well, sure. Gee, if Pat wants me to do it, I'll do anything for Pat. So I came in, but I see I was right. After 19 and a half years, you're a flop. You're going on.
That first day, your recollections of that very first program?
Not the slightest. No.
Really? That's interesting.
Mm-mm. In fact, I have fewer, to be honest, really, fewer recollections of Monitor than I have of getting off and on the elevator out there.
Well, it's an experience.
Yeah, Monitor was very much linear. We came in and we did little bits and pieces, and there were several of us spread out here. Pete Roberts sat next to me for years. And only once in a while in the control room something would go wrong would we look up from our Argosy magazine or whatever we were studying that week. I recall one exotic night when at 7:01 all the lights went off in here. We went on the air at 7, and at 7:01 all the illumination went off. The pilot lights on the switchboard didn't go off, but you can't see much by those. And we had scripts, you know, to read and commercials to read. And for several minutes it was really black. No one smoked, you see. And then somebody found some matches, and there was one or two in the pack, just one or two. Meanwhile, screaming and yelling for flashlights, no flashlights. And the matches burned for a few seconds, went out, it was all black again. And then somebody got a flashlight. And then by that, we could read on one microphone, and it took 20 minutes to get two or three flashlights, and the lights went back on about that time.
Progress is amazing. Now you and I are sitting here with two flashlights.
Yeah, aren't we? You got any matches?
No.
Bet you not.
That's probably the only mistake the control room's ever made in 19 and a half years. You said before you don't have too many memories of Monitor, but mostly about getting on and off the elevators out here, but you said you all sat around here. Did you ever play many kind of practical jokes on each other, you and Peter Roberts or any of the other fellas?
We seldom spoke to each other.
That got a mighty laugh in the control room just now.
No, Pete Roberts and I were on all the time, and but we had our little duties to, you know, we had to check off this and check off that, and we were busy with the routine and then whatever we were reading, and occasionally we'd interchange a laugh or two, but it never got far because always up came the mic or something, and we were on the air and it got interrupted so much that we talked more outside than we did inside.
Well, Dave Garraway, I never thought I'd meet you, but it's a great pleasure and to hear a little sentimental journey as we go out here.
All right.
Pleasant Monitor weekend. Pleasant in that a lot of old friends of Monitor are dropping by, and a lot of people had a lot to do with Monitor from the day it started almost 20 years ago. One of them is John Chancellor. And I don't see any tears in your eyes or anything, but you must have some great memories of it.
Well, I have a lot of memories of Monitor. It was I don't know quite what my contribution was in the early days. We covered a lot of fires and things like that when I worked in Chicago. My favorite recollection of it, though, is the total dedication of young NBC employees in those days and the fact that they could sublimate their personalities to an extraordinary degree. We had interviews that were to have been done or were presented as interviews that Dave Garraway did. And for my sins, I got to do a lot of these interviews, and then Garraway would ask the questions, and they would play the tape, or I guess it wasn't wire in those days, of the answers I got from people, and my voice never appeared. And I got a call from New York one day saying, the interviews are fine, but they're not personal enough.
Mm.
And I said, well, what do you mean personal? And they said, well, have the people begin the answers with, well, Dave. So I tried this for a week or two and interviewed some people, and they kept forgetting to say, well, Dave. So I got a sign printed that said Dave and hung it around my neck. And in asking questions, I would point as they thought of the answer to Dave. And I guess we had the highest well, Dave rate at the network. Worked fine.
Everybody was happy.
Oh, yes. It was a different radio in those days. The country was different in those days. The country, 20 years ago, was discovering itself in terms of communication. Television and radio were performing quite different functions in an original way. And Monitor was one of the most exciting programs that I think I've ever heard in that historical context. And the reason for it was that it did tie up the whole country. It made you feel that you were a citizen of the United States, not just a Chicagoan or a New Yorker listening to a radio station, but for most of all of those weekends, you did have a feeling that the country was sharing and participating in a single enterprise. And that was magic.
Well, Dave... Oh, I'm sorry. You were pointing to your sign.
It's my sign.
I thought you... No, it's been nice talking with you here about Monitor. And we're talking to John Chancellor, known to intimates as Jack Chancellor, I think, and once known as Dave Chancellor in the old days in Chicago. But it's nice to have you in New York. I hope you don't leave. You're not going to leave, are you?
No, I have no intention to.
Good, good. And so... Good is right. Secure in the knowledge that John is going to stay on. He's nodding, yes, he will. Even if some of the rest of us will be moving on, we move along through a nostalgic but also fun-filled weekend, as you hear in a couple of minutes, right here on the Monitor Beacon. With John Bartholomew Tucker. And what were you doing back in 1956, assuming you were old enough to do anything? Monitor was 1 year old then. The first black student was enrolled in the University of Alabama. The Salk anti-polio vaccine was made available to the general public. On Broadway, the hit musical was My Fair Lady. And on records, a couple of very young ladies named Patience and Prudence scored with a hit of their own. Tonight, You Belong to Me.
Yeah.
Well, patience and prudence, as they sounded on Monitor back in 1956. You know, in addition to keeping you entertained and informed on the important happenings in the weekend world throughout the 20 years we've been on the air, Monitor has also been the source of some fairly esoteric information from time to time. For example, if, for whatever reason, you wanted to know how to catch snapping turtles, all you had to do was listen to Monitor some years ago when reporter Conway Robinson sought the advice of expert Ted Abbott somewhere on the edge of a southeastern swamp.
First of all, how do you go about catching these turtles, these big snappers that live in the ponds here?
Well, you sort of got to pick your day, and you take a day of, like, it's real hot, and you have a thunderstorm that evening, say, before sundown, and you'll go out there, and after this thunderstorm's over, and the sun comes out real hot, now that's the day. You go out there, and you get by these ponds, and you clap your hands, and do a little whistle, something like a war dance, and if it's either one in that pond, he'll pop his head up.
How come? See what it's all about?
Well, my grandfather told me back a long time ago that they like noise. And he told me instead of clapping his hands, he'd take two wooden shingles and go out there and clap them together. And that made more noise yet. And he said that worked real good, believe it or not.
Well, Ted, do you have a special whistle or a special way you clap your hands?
Yes, it is. It's sort of an echo sound. It goes something like this.
Well, how many times do you have to do that?
Oh, I would say do it with about 2 minutes, minute and a half, 2 minutes, and stop. And wait for about 3 or 4 minutes. And do that about 3 times. And if nothing comes up within 3 times in that pond, then you might as well leave. He's not there.
Well, after he sticks his head up, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a caught turtle.
No, it don't. Absolutely not. It all depends on the terrain in the bottom of this pond. Now, the ponds that we usually like to go in is what we call this little bittern moss around here, which grows about 4 inches off the top of the bottom. And you can just see the top of his shell out of that moss. Now, if the moss is any higher, that'll cover the turtle up. And you got a job. You got to kick him out with your feet.
Well, listen, Ted, they don't call these things snapping turtles for nothing.
Absolutely not. When you get them out of the water, they put up a right nice fight.
Well, how in the world can you tell you got the right end of the turtle?
Well, that's just yours experience and a few bites, I'd say. You can tell by the ridges on his back. He's got sort of little diamonds on his back, spurs.
Yeah.
And when you get hold of them, all the spurs point towards the end of his tail. And that's the way you want to follow.
So if you run your hand across the turtle's back and the spurs are going the wrong way, you're heading for his head, huh?
You're right. You want to change directions fast.
All of which goes to prove that the catching of snapping turtles is no snap.
He said it. I didn't. But more important in a way than what was said in that spot was the sound of those voices, huh? Those regional dialects. That was part of what made Monitor so much fun. You got to meet your fellow Americans in every part of this country, and occasionally one who was out of the country, in the Caribbean. I mean, Harry Belafonte.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Dip.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Day, he's a day.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Is that there? Is that there? A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot punch.
Daylight come.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Harry Belafonte ending a half hour of Monitor's more or less sentimental journey into the past. More of same in our immediate future this final weekend. Yep, here on NBC. We'll return shortly. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker. This is Monitor on NBC.
NBC Update. This is David Rush with an update report on the news. Columbus, Ohio newspaper publisher Edgar Wolfe Jr. and four other persons were killed today in a plane crash in Washington. Their twin-engine aircraft struck a radio tower on the campus of American University. No one on the ground was injured. The plane apparently lost its way in rain and fog on a landing approach to Washington National Airport. President Ford has been pronounced in excellent health following his annual physical checkup. Mr. Ford has proclaimed Monday as National MIA Awareness Day. Monday is the second anniversary of the Paris Accords on Vietnam. On Wednesday, the president is to meet with British Prime Minister Harold Wilson. Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko is to visit Cairo February 3rd, a few days before the expected arrival of Secretary of State Kissinger. Arab oil ministers have called a summit meeting of the OPEC nations in late February or early March to prepare for talks with oil importers. Senator Henry Jackson says Russia, not the U.S. Congress, must take full blame for breaking the trade agreement between Washington and Moscow. Updating sports, two basketball giants fell today. UCLA lost to Notre Dame 84-78, and Maryland dropped a 69-66 decision to North Carolina. Chris Everett and Margaret Court are top and second seeded, respectively, in the women's tennis tournament opening Monday in Washington. David Rush, NBC Update.
John Bartholomew Tucker and Monitor on our next to last day. But no tears, heads held high, we're saying hello to old friends and fellow workers and goodbye to you, our faithful listeners. Bob and Ray will be along in this half hour, and Bob Hope, Joe Garagiola. But we're turning the dial on our time machine back to 1958 now for David Seville and his friend, the Witch Doctor.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that you didn't love me true. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me nice. And then the witch doctor he gave me this advice. He said that ooh 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 ah ah ding 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 ding. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy that's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ding-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ding-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ding-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ding-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser. And I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy that's so much wiser. And he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do. I know that you'll be mine when I say this to you, oh baby. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Come on in. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang.
Yeah, 1958 music there. My friend, the witch doctor, David Seville. Here's a 1975 commercial.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
Six or three or one.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms, you'd need six cold tablets, two every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, one every 4 hours, or just one contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
Six or three or one. Take contact. Only as directed.
12 beef patties, pickles, sauce, lettuce, cheese, and this pickles, no.
McDonald's Big Mac.
12 beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
7 great ingredients working together to make one great taste.
12 beef patties.
There's a sauce, there's a pickle. Oh, I don't know. There are all kinds of things.
You've got 75%. All right.
Oh, boy.
McDonald's Big Mac has meat and lettuce on it.
12 beef patties,
special sauce,
pickles,
chicken, onions.
Also is cheese. Mustn't forget that, of course.
And
lettuce. But where does it belong?
In the middle.
McDonald's Big Mac. The great big sandwich with a great big taste.
Small beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions.
And a nice sesame seed bun.
I like the sesame seed bun.
A Big Mac, of course.
2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
2 all good people, I don't know.
You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
Where your dollar gets a break every day.
There was a time back in the early days of Monitor when if someone asked you what program you worked on, you answered Monitor. The immediate reaction would be, oh, yeah, Bob and Ray. It's true. They were that closely associated with this show, Coast to Coast. Well, they've gone on to other shows, a local one in New York at the moment, and they're doing so well they've hardly had time to say goodbye to us. But who wants sad goodbyes when you can hear them as they sounded back on the first Monitor Weekend back in 1955? Now, Bob plays the character known as Wally Baloo. Ray plays everybody else.
Wally Baloo speaking from the Sturdly Open. I'm standing on the ninth green now, where the two final opponents, Ed Balloon and Fred Bird, are just winding up with a tie score as of this point. What's that? Well, we're broadcasting. I've got to describe what this is.
Can you lower your voice a little?
Balloon has just putted out here on the ninth green.
But can't you lower your voice a little, fella?
For a 3-under par 62, and now his opponent, Fred Bird, is about to take his putt. They're tied up right here. I'm going to call over Ed Balloon and see if he has a few words to say. Ed, could you speak to our audience while we're waiting for your opponent to putt?
Yes, I'm awful glad that you called me over here.
Wait.
I was very thrilled the way came through.
Ed, I want to congratulate you on the way... On the way that you putted out there for 62, it was wonderful playing.
Well, it's all right, and well, I was very thrilled to have made that shot. This hole has always been the trickiest one for me, Mr. Blue.
Wait, you're disturbing. Fred Bird is just about to putt. And,
whereabouts?
He's right over there. And, of course, he is a little bit excited and nervous because you have been tied up right to this point. And upon this will depend the Sturdly...
Please.
Upon this will depend the winner of the Sturdly...
He's about ready to putt now, I say.
Can see him now, and he's getting a little red-faced. He's a little bit nervous. I think he can hear you, and that will be looked at as fair play too much. Now he's ready to light up his shot. It's about a 10-foot putt.
Good luck to you, fella.
Oh, he throws down his club, and he's frankly very upset at this. And he picks the putter up again, and he marks off the 10 feet. For a golfer like Ed Balloon, it should be an easy shot. He lines it up. There's a hush over the audience. He's ready. And...
Good luck!
It missed the hole by about 5 feet. And the audience, to a man, is on its feet and rather upset. I'd like to speak with the loser, Fred Bird. You lost by one putt, Fred. How do you feel?
I was pretty miserable. That old fella kept yelling at me there.
Well, you didn't know whether you could hear us or not. But you played a great game. You're a good sport.
Thank
I know
you
you're
going
to take it like a man.
Punch him in the nose.
Like the good sport that you are. Now this is...
Take your microphones and your mobile units and scram.
W.W. Baloo returning you to Monitor.
You know... Well, let me explain it to you. That was all absolutely ad-libbed. They didn't know what was going to happen next because their function in the early days of Monitor was to sit in the studio all weekend long and then do things like that whenever there was some kind of delay in switching to remote spots or something. They would just point to Bob and Ray and say, do something. And so they what you heard there, they did. They didn't know they were going to do it. Bob and Ray, Monitor back in 1955.
As a State Farm agent, I really enjoy going out to be with my client and talking to him about his life insurance needs.
Agent Brian Carlson of Sharon, Pennsylvania, for State Farm Life.
I get a personal sense of satisfaction when I walk out of someone's door, knowing that I've tailored a life insurance program or whatever the insurance need may be to fit their particular needs. It hasn't been tailored for Mr. Jones next door or Mr. Smith next door. It's their personal program. It may protect the father, the mother, the children, the mortgage, whatever it may be. This is what is important to me as a State Farm agent. I think if I were out looking for commission dollars, rather than offering a service that inevitably, in the long run, I just wouldn't be the professional agent I hope to be.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm.
We heard Bob and Ray a minute ago, and I'm informed that we'll be hearing from Bob and Joe in about 5 minutes. A different Bob with our own Joe Garagiola. Now, you might label them as a comedy team since the Bob is Bob Hope, but stick around and hear for yourself right here on the Monitor Bacon.
monitor.
And back in 1959, you heard Bobby Darin sing this hit right on monitor.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe. And it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's old Maggie Heath, babe? So there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know? Where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight to stare. Five will get you 10 old Mackies back in town. Now you hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash?
Great stuff back there in 1959. Bobby Darin got you all steamed up. Now we'll go and get a couple ice cubes from Frigidaire, huh?
Have we got some good news? Frigidaire's got some good news. Something more for your money. Something for Frigidaire.
Certificates worth 3,600 S&H green stamps are yours free during the Frigidaire Stamp Act. You get them when you buy any of our 100% frost-proof 17-cubic-foot refrigerators, our Custom Deluxe heavy-duty washer, our Custom Deluxe or Imperial dryers, our best-selling range model RSE36, or one of our exclusive Frigidaire laundry centers between January 19th and February 9th. It's Frigidaire's way of giving you
something more for your money, something for Frigidaire.
To get your certificates, mail us a copy of your sales slip and a coupon by midnight, February 15th, 1975. The Frigidaire Stamp Act from the Home Environment Division of General Motors. Offer void where prohibited.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin, plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Well, it's time for one of the last reports from Monitor's sports fella, Joe Garagiola. And I expect it's going to be something a little special, right, Joe?
John, on Monitor's final weekend, there are naturally a lot of memories. Of all the people who have been guests on Monitor, one probably was with us more than any other. And with that in mind, I decided to put in a telephone call to that familiar Monitor voice, Bob Hope. Bob, are you there?
Yes, sir, Joe.
Now, this time you're in Dallas.
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
And the last time I saw you, you were in Tucson. I guess between there, you've been where? To Nome, Alaska, Rome, Italy, and...
No, I went home for a change. Novelty.
What brings you to Texas?
Well, I'm down here. I did a thing for the National Home Builders last night, and then I did an autograph party on my book today, The Last Christmas Show.
I guess it was different for you to be home at Christmas time.
Yeah, it was a nice feeling, too.
Bob, before we talk about the real business at hand, how about that Johnny Miller and the way he's playing golf, you being such a big golfer yourself?
Well, you remember the line I used at the dinner, it's nice to be here for this Johnny Miller benefit?
That's right.
You know, it's getting so this kid won't be able to swing. His money belt's going to be so fat.
What are you expecting to do at the Bob Hope Desert Classic?
Well, I just hope he swings out. He's a wonderful guy, and he's a great credit to the game.
Bob, the reason we're really calling is that, Monitor, this is the last weekend.
Oh, boy.
And of all the people that have been on Monitor, outside of the hosts, you probably have more airtime than anybody, and we just felt like we should be talking to you.
Well, I think that's nice of you, because I'm a little sentimental about Monitor, because I've used it many, many times to plug all the things we've done, and I've enjoyed all the people that have worked on it.
And now it's gone.
We're going to miss it, I'll tell you that. I know we're going to miss it, and I know a lot of people in the country are going to miss it. I think it gave great service to the country.
And when it comes to great service to the country, Bob Hope figures to know. Later today, Bob Hope talks of some other memories, including his friend Jack Benny. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Oh, thank you, Joe. And I got to hand it to Bob. He calls a spade. He calls a plug a plug. But he did a lot more than that on Monitor. He gave us laughs by the carload, and not just occasionally. At one time, he was a regular contributor. But enough of all my lighthearted chatter here. Let's get back to something terribly serious, huh? A hit song from 1971, The Beatles' Yellow Submarine.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed on to the sun till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, we all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
And our friends are all aboard, many more of them live next door. And the band begins to play.
We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Yellow submarine.
We all live
starring the Beatles and Yellow Submarine.
Hey, what you got there? It looks like tomato juice.
V8.
What you got there?
It's V8.
Looks like tomato juice.
It's V8.
Try it.
Wow.
It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Mm-hmm. It tastes like V8.
Grape tastes naturally low in calories. V8 cocktail vegetable juice.
You know, there's never been a better time for V8. And you may be surprised to know that when you buy the big 46-ounce can, a 6-ounce serving only costs about a dime. Think about it. 6 ounces of V8 for as little as 10 cents. So when you measure the great natural taste of those 8 garden vegetables, the many ways you serve it, and those few calories against the cost, you're really getting your money's worth. Why not pick up some V8 today?
V8 cocktail vegetable juice. V8.
The year was 1960. President Eisenhower's trip to the Soviet Union was canceled when the Russians shot down an American U-2 spy plane over their territory. The first post office department established its first automated post office in Rhode Island. We're still waiting for a letter of ours to be delivered. The Romance of Helen Trent, a radio soap opera, came to an end after 27 years. But romance was still available for ordinary people who danced, actually holding on to each other. Oh, yeah, they did strange things in those days. To music like this by Percy Faith. Theme from a Summer Place. Another hour of Monitor on this our last weekend. I'm John Bartholomew Tucker. I'd like to say this one more time. Monitor News is next.